Want to open the Bengals Beat podcast reminding everyone we're fueled by 50 West Brewing Company. Now's the time to head out to the production works.
It's where we held our live BBP after the draft.
They have sand volleyball leagues, canoeing, kayaking, cycling, running groups, all based out of 50 West on Wooster Pike. Plus, Saturday, July 7th, you have to come out to the third annual 50 West Punch-Out. It's where local brewers box against other local brewers with quality local craft beer and food as far as the eye can see. Plus, it marks the official can release of Punch You in the IPA, and I will be emceeing the event, drinking coast to coast, and doing my best Michael Buffer impression.
Hope to see you soon down at 50 West, where every beer is a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast presented by 50 West Brewery. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals Beat writers, Jim Osarski and Paul Diener Jr. invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out insider news, listen in on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. You can subscribe in iTunes, Google Play, or your preferred podcast platform. Of course, you can always listen in the podcast section of our Cincinnati.com Bengals app. Let's go. All right, welcome into the latest edition of the BBP. It's the Bengals Beat podcast presented by 50 West Brewing Company. And this is an exciting one, Jim.
Yeah.
Do you know why this is an exciting one?
No.
Yeah, you do. don't act like you don't know why. It's the last day of school.
It is the last day of school.
School's out for summer. Play Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
This is like the last. This is like the teacher who is, last period. You got like 22 minutes left.
Yeah.
And they're like, here's this last thing you're going to learn.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we're going to give you the last little bit that you need to learn.
Right before we have
a lot of fun.
But the only difference being, you actually are paying attention.
That is true.
Because
you, the listener, are paying attention.
You, the listener. Because in this scenario, the listener, no.
No, I'm.
Jim's halfway gone. Jim, just so you know, Jim is halfway on vacation at this point. He's done with this. But the listener is not like the student in this scenario, because the student never cares about that last 22 minutes. Yeah. Whereas you, I think, will care about this.
I think you will.
These last 22 minutes, because we're going to wrap up the 3-day minicamp. Yeah. So there was some stuff. There was some news. There was some bus tossing.
Yeah.
that happened. So we've got some stuff to kind of dive into a little bit. So we're going to get to all of that. Some of your favorite names will be involved.
Yeah.
Tyler Eifert, John Ross, Marvin Lewis.
Right.
The usual suspects, I guess we should say. So we're going to get to all that. We'll have some audio. We'll hear from Carlos Dunlap, who was here in the building for the first time after missing 9 weeks of the offseason. We're going to kind of do a big offseason wrap as well here, because this is our last our podcast talking about the 2018 team until we get to Mock Turtle Soup, which is July 24th. We've got our traditional podcast series that we love to do this time of year. Of course, last year we did Bengals 50.
Yeah.
And we loved bringing that to you. I hope you guys enjoyed all that stuff. You can go back and still listen to it. Corey Dillon podcast. We had the Bob Bettinghouse podcast on there talking about the stadium issue, which all that stuff has reared its ugly head again.
Right.
But this year we're going to have a whole new thing that we've come up for you. We think you're really going to like it.
Yeah.
Keep an eye out for that.
Well, you will like it because you're the ones who told us they were things you liked.
Yeah, and so so we did.
There's a tease.
Yep, exactly. So keep an eye out for that. That's going to fill the space over the next month. So between now and then, we need to use it to wrap up the entire offseason. So we're going to do that by kind of doing a positional ranking from strongest to weakest of where we think this team is by position group, strength to weakness, to give you a feel for kind of think how the roster shakes out. Of course, we'll do our power ranking of dumb things because we love to do that. And with it being summer, it's a perfect opportunity to power rank bodies of water.
Yep. Everybody's trying to get near water on their summer break. So we're going to power rank the ones that suck and the ones that are good. Jim, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Tyler Eifert. Yeah. He's just always in the, it's just always a thing.
Yeah.
It's always in the news. And here's, you know, you can jump in here, but I mean, to me, Tyler Eifert being a non-participant is not a huge deal until you throw into the fact that that was not how this has been told to us throughout this entire process.
Right.
That, okay, he is not participating here, but, you know, he was supposed to be great now, and he's all fixed, and he was doing individuals throughout the entire OTAs.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, minicamp comes, and all he's doing is standing, leaning against a bike for 3 days.
Yeah. I think, well, before, I think we should hear from the head coach on this one.
Yeah. Because, you know.
Because you're right. First day of minicamp, Tyler Eifert does not show up. So the natural question is, where is he? And the head coach had something to say about that. And then he had, and then he added more as to, you know, what we can expect maybe going forward.
Take it away, Marv.
Coach, Tyler Eifert's not out here. Is there any, is that connected to his health?
Well, I don't know what actually he was going to be. He was here all morning, and then all of a sudden he wasn't. So I'm sure he's being dealt with in some kind of medical fashion. That's the only reason why a guy wouldn't be here. So,
yeah. Is it anything to be concerned about? Is it his back?
I don't know.
What can you say about his progress to this point as far as?
Well, he's been, you know, he's been feeling good about things, and you know, they've been feeling good about things. So we just, you know, every you know, as time goes on, when we start to play football, then we'll have an idea where he is.
Do we need to bring in the Marvin Lewis like backing up of the bus sounder for the pod?
Right.
I mean, this was a thing last year. Where we out of character? What at the time it seemed out of character. Yeah.
Maybe it's a new Marv. Marv 3.0. Bus tosser.
Marv 3.0. All he does is just toss people under the bus, back it up. Bring
honestly,
it back around.
Makes it, you know, it'll make a random, you know, Wednesday presser a little more interesting.
Yeah, potentially he's gonna tell us who he's pissed off at this week.
Right.
I mean, last year obviously it was Jeremy Hill and John Ross and under the bus and you know whatever. Now it's
Joe Mixon a little bit last year.
Joe Mixon a little bit times.
Yeah, so I on one hand, I'm not concerned about Tyler Eifert necessarily until the injury report week one of the season, if that makes sense. But to Marvin's point, you know, he had been participating. He had been doing everything. One of the stories that we wrote at Cincinnati.com was Tyler telling us, the only reason I'm not doing everything is because they won't. That's part of this process. Because he basically said, I could do 11s.
Yeah.
Is what he said at the end of OTA. So now to all of a sudden be a spectator, that means there's a setback physically somewhere, somehow, or something to a degree. How do you go from some things and you can do all of it to nothing?
I've not gotten the sense from his camp that there's any setback. It seems to be weird, and I want to bring a second part of Marv audio in here because so that was the first day that you heard, and it sort of became very much a thing. The second day, Tyler shows up, but he just stands out there. The question was if he had updates because obviously Marv sounded to kind of not really know after day one. So tell me if you notice anything about the way Marvin was addressing the Eifert situation. Obviously, at this point, he goes into the, well, we don't know if he's going to be there for training camp stuff. So here's the second part. This was Wednesday.
Yeah, he's just out here doing what he's been doing. Just getting him ready to be able to play football when it counts and when the season's here. You know, that's all we're shooting for. So we just, you know, following the people, and following their instruction and direction and so forth. We're in here on the turf, so it's a little bit, you know, different surface. And so just ease his way into things when the time comes.
Did if he'd be on grass, do you think it'd be a different story?
I don't know that. I'm not in charge of that.
Is there any kind of like setback or?
No, just trying to, you know, make sure we manage everything that they want him to do. So,
are you in the expectation that he'll participate in the beginning of camp, training camp?
Or? I can't tell you that right now.
Oh, no.
Well, when you know, when they tell him or release him to do what he can do, then he'll be ready to go. But he's, you know, the main thing is for him to stay up with everything mentally, and when he can get the reps he was getting before when there wasn't defense over there, it was good. You know, we just don't, you know, there's no reason to get him jostled around right now until the time comes.
Do you notice the word they a lot?
Yeah.
And it just stood out to me because it's always supposed to be we, yeah. Right? There seems
it's not.
It's not. It's not we.
Yeah.
It's they're doing their thing with him, and they have their plan and right. What they think it should be. And this bust tossing Marv makes it pretty apparent that he doesn't think it should be that way, or he doesn't like their plan.
Right.
And he's making it clear it ain't his.
Right. And
it's all very
yeah.
Weird. It's, and probably and maybe it's much ado about nothing, but when it comes to Tyler Eifert and it comes to health and it comes to $5.5 million and it comes to $3 million in bonus money just sitting out there and what he means to this offense, it is a big deal, this type of stuff lingering.
Yeah, and to sort of build off what I said, I'm not really concerned about Tyler Eifert until week one injury report. I mean, it's not like the last couple years. This is a new offense. Same quarterback. But there are still routes to be run and different terminology. Tyler talked about that. You know, he's. I remember Paul at the start of the OTA, he said there was a bit of hesitation coming out of a play. Like, what does that mean again? So, I mean, you can't kind of sweep away lack of practice under the rug completely. You know, so he probably needs to practice less than anybody else.
Yeah.
But, you know. But, yeah, I don't know. Here's the thing. It's more about something because the other guy isn't there either, and that's Tyler Croft.
Yeah.
Who, you know, didn't finish OTA, didn't participate at all for minicamp. Same as Tyler Eifert. I mean, he just made his first appearance at the very end of practice on the Thursday, mm-hmm. and he's out. I don't know exactly what it is, but it seems like some soft tissue muscle issue happened when he was turning around to catch a pass. He says, hey, I'm good for camp. It's a six-week thing. You know, we're just – but, okay. So that means the one tight end who's hurt all the time is still hurt. The other tight end who kind of showed up for the first time in 3 years, caught 7 touchdowns. He's hurt. So now it's just CJ Uzama running around and like a bunch of other dudes.
Yeah.
Some of them who can't catch.
No.
Some of them who can't run.
No.
So, you know, tight end's still kind of a big deal, even in this new scheme, if you will. So, like, I think in the context, it's something.
Jim, you know I don't like to say I told you so.
No, you don't.
It's not a thing that I want to say. I don't want to be right about certain things. I'm right about this one.
Yeah.
They pushed this as not a priority this offseason. They said it wasn't. I kept saying, I don't understand why they're not being more aggressive at this position.
Right.
Everybody's in a contract year. All of them get hurt all the time. You can't rely on 85 to be out there, even if you sign them. Not even thought of in the draft.
Yeah.
There was never something they wanted
Mason
to do.
Mason Schreck.
Not this year's draft.
No.
Never even sniffed any of those guys besides having a room full of them out there in the middle rounds they could have taken a shot at.
No, you're right.
And it could come back to bite them.
It could.
Because their offense needs that.
Yeah.
So we shall see.
So it sets up.
It's a mess right now. But yeah, you're right. It's CJ.
Yeah, and here, so I'm going to rewind it back to February, where Duke Tobin at the podium at the combine was asked the sort of like out of the blue CJ Uzama question.
Yeah.
You know, considering the context of the Bengals at that point was like, what? And he didn't really, like, CJ's here, he's on the team, you know, but he hasn't really done anything. He got his first real opportunity in 16. You know, I think he's maybe more known for not getting his feet down in Pittsburgh. It could have been a touchdown.
Yeah.
Obviously, we've seen the athleticism. Well, here we are. It's a contract year. Year four. Two guys in front of him are hurt. Ryan Hewitt is getting some look, but no one's going to confuse Ryan Hewitt as an athlete compared to C.J. Uzomah. So C.J.'s the one getting the reps with Andy Dalton. He's the one running those routes with A.J. Green over the top of him and all that other stuff. And let's bring C.J. in, Paul, because he's what's nice about him is he's just as aware of all this as we are.
I mean, obviously, I know it's year four. It's a big year for me. And I'm going to do everything in my power to you know, propel myself the best I can.
Right. Do you – and I was talking to Tyler about this, and even Quezzy, like, how, in terms of that, how do you – how are you trying to balance it or hope to balance that of, like, knowing, you know, maybe they call me in July or August like they do for – maybe they don't. And we, you know what I mean? Like, how do you kind of balance that?
I have an opportunity to showcase myself with being, you know, a few guys out.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that kind of, like – put something in their mind right now at the forefront of their mind because it's fresh, and hopefully they see me as, you know, a vital part of the team. So I keep just trying to go out there and make good plays, make big plays, and I know we don't have pads on or anything, but learning the offense, not making any mental errors, I think that's something that they would look at. You know, I'd hope they'd look at and just be like, all right, well, he's smart. You know, he's not gonna go out there and lay an egg. So other than that, I mean, I don't think about the. I know it's a big year for me, and I'm going to try my best to, you know, make myself the best, you know, give myself the best opportunity to get a second contract that I think I deserve. But other than that, yeah, I'm just trying to make sure I'm going to propel myself in this offense.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned it. I mean, here, I mean, you've started games. You've played plenty of regular season reps, all that stuff. Like you said, I mean, with the Tyler's power, you're running this stuff. I mean, you're like kind of next man up that whole thing. So how have you felt, I guess, about this OTA, this offseason phase, in terms of what you have been doing here in this offense?
I feel like I've been doing really well. I feel like I've picked up on the offense, you know, as well as anyone. We talk about it a lot. All the boys play Fortnite and stuff, and we'll be on Fortnite, we'll be on video games, and we'll just start talking about plays and stuff. So it's good. I mean, I feel like I've been putting myself in a great position and, for the coach's eyes. And like you said, I've been doing a good bit of the reps with the first team, and still doing stuff on special teams. So kind of just like a utility player is what I'm hoping they see. Like, oh, well, we can use him in this situation. We can play him on special teams. We can, you know, again, like a vital part of the team. Is what I'm hoping that they, you know, kind of see.
Ain't no motivator like money.
No.
And exactly. The contract year, it's no coincidence that people's highest years tend to spike right there when they need it.
Right.
You know, it's and you feel it. And I think, you know, CJ, that whole room is
right.
Should be feeling it.
Right.
You should expect the best year ever out of the tight ends because they're all playing for cash.
Right, they are.
You know, and who knows? Maybe we'll come back and Tyler Croft will have gotten an extension.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, they're all playing for cash. They've all got something to prove, and we don't know if anybody's going to be able to actually do it.
Right. Right, yeah. You're right about that. I think Croft, you know, is in the – conversation for contract talks for sure, but that brings up, you know, a guy who showed up,
Carlos.
Carlos,
right? Exactly.
So that, I mean, look at this professional segues.
Professional, you're doing it.
Yeah,
you're just like, let's move this along. I told you he had 2 feet. I told you he had 2 feet ready to go on vacation. He's like, look, I'm just gonna start jumping the segues, but I don't care if you're done with that segment. We're moving on. This thing is gonna be 42 minutes long, and we are gonna go home. I am ready. We got a tea time. That's like after practice on Wednesday. All these rookies, in particular, had early flights to catch. Like they didn't know there was going to be practice today.
Right.
Malik Jefferson had like a 2:05 flight at a CVG. I mean, practice was supposed to go till 1.
Right.
And he's like, he's got his bag packed. He's trying to get stuff taken and sprinting out there. Anyway, yeah. So, Carlos Dunlap, let's get you on vacation. So, Obviously, we've talked a lot about Carlos throughout this offseason. Yeah. He has not been around. He's in a contract year. This week, across the league, we saw guys not coming to minicamp in contract situations. Earl Thomas, Taylor Lewin.
Julio
Jones.
Le'Veon
Aaron
Bell.
Donald. Bell. Yeah, I mean, look across the league. It's the trend right now. And let's be honest. You don't need to be here. Carlos doesn't need to prove anything.
No.
Carlos is going to be in fine shape. I don't have any questions about Carlos in 2018.
Yeah, really, it was just a matter of was he willing to eat the 80K?
Yeah.
Which is interesting because he gave up 300K.
He gave up 300.
So what's another 80?
That's why I asked him, and we'll get to a little bit of Carlos in a bit. Like, why show up this week?
Right.
He gave up more by not showing up before, but I think he was just like, it was the only way he could kind of get away with not actually participating in any of this 11-7 stuff. He just wants to do his workouts and be in good shape and not get hurt while he's in negotiations, of which he stated are progressing with the team right now. He was pretty open about it. I think the big picture of this before, I do want to bring in some of Carlos's conversation, and you can get his take.
Yeah.
We've heard a lot from others about Carlos, and you've heard a lot from us about Carlos, but I do think it's interesting to get a little bit of his take. The big picture of it is, you know, he's a guy who doesn't need to prove anything and can just...
Yeah.
He doesn't need to be here. The fact that he didn't... Okay. So what? I mean, it happens. This is the last big contract of his career.
Yeah.
He needs to be careful with it. And I think that's what he's doing. The fact that he showed up, I think, showed a little bit, even if he didn't participate. I mean, he just watched.
Yeah.
He stretched and did, you know, the things to say that he was here and not confined. But anyway, here's Carlos Dunlap talking with some of us, you know, about his entire situation and being quite honest about it.
A lot of guys around the league skip the minicamp too. Why come back? Because I know you had to sacrifice money already.
Yeah.
Why come back for minicamp?
I mean, I had my time to, you know, get in the best shape ever. I feel like I felt really good, and I wanted to get around the guys and, you know, get implemented into the new defense a little bit, and meet some of these new rooks, you know. And show face. I mean, minicamp is, you know, a short period of time where we get a lot of football done, a lot of core skills done. I've done all the stuff that I wanted to do training-wise, and now it's football stuff, so that's why I'm here now.
Were you getting practice film while you were not here?
I've been communicating with the guys, trying to figure out, you know, what's going on. Me and Marvin have been in touch the whole time. He let me know that, you know, the new plan for the defensive coordinator, TA. And I wasn't aware of what's been going on the whole time during OTAs. We've been communicating through the whole process pretty much right after the draft. Yeah.
Are you going to do everything in the next 3 days, or will you just do like you did normally?
Well, I haven't been here for OTAs, so they're going to work me in.
Yeah,
Obviously, can't jump in. Yeah, I mean, you know, a cheetah does the stretch before it runs, but this is a professional football league, so you gotta prep things properly and make sure, you know, are mindful of what you're doing so that you have that long and healthy career, which we've been fortunate to have up until this point.
You mentioned a lot of the quality young players that are here now and the young guys. What do you open yourself up to looking at the longevity of your career and dialing back your snaps at all, or is that something that you're like, that's not something I'm at all interested in doing? How do you treat that?
That's a difficult question, because last year I feel like I played some of my most snaps ever, and I felt my best ever in the season, which is odd to say. I mean, I tweaked minor things in my off-season program, and they paid off dividends, but obviously, if you do that mindset, take off a couple snaps, which they have plans of doing, because they're very adamant about having a good rotation, and I would too if we have all this talent on the D-line. So that's just going to double down on what I've been doing on my own. So I look forward to whatever happens. I know personally I'll be ready for whichever way it may go, and if we had to make an announcement now, I feel like I play more than a handful more years here, and just keep it going from there. I'm not going to set a ceiling. I set a minimum.
You're 29.
I'm 29. That's factual. I don't feel 29 though.
How long can you? 35, 36?
I'm not gonna guess the maximum, but I set a floor. I mean, right now, I mean, football is year to year at the end of the day. But right now, if I had to put a guesstimate, I feel like I got more than a handful of years left.
You knew you're going to be making some kind of a statement by not coming to OTAs, even if people interpreted it incorrectly or not the way you wanted it. Did that make you reconsider or change your mind at all about not coming?
I mean, all the comments and everything talking about reasons of me not being here, obviously, you know, hit home a little bit because, you know, they painted me to be a selfish guy, which I didn't feel like that was not my objective. My goal was to make sure I was in the best shape for when football starts, so that I can be there for my team for the long haul. And I feel like I'm there. I feel like I accomplished that, and I'm ready for whatever.
Is a lot of that about just avoiding injury, too, to make sure you don't?
I mean, the football is 99% injury rate. Yeah. If you go out there thinking about not getting injured, it increases the chances. So for me personally, I just focused on making sure I was in the best shape ever so that whenever it came that I could just play football and didn't have to worry about the what-ifs. I didn't have to worry about that because, I mean, everybody knows there's a chance of it happening. But if you're thinking about it, you might be that one step slower, whatever, you know, and you increase those chances. So I didn't want to have those problems.
Is this contract stuff annoying? Do you get – or does it weigh on you a little bit where you're like, oh, I just hate having to worry about it?
I mean, the guys in the locker room don't talk about it. And my agent only brings me – positive news, so it's not weighing on me. I got guys in place so that they take on the weight of, you know, the back and forth stuff. So he just lets me know when we're making progress or if we're not making progress, and we'll let that handle itself. I'm just going to make sure I'm ready to play football because at the end of the day, that'll help push the needle whichever way it goes.
Do you have a time frame where most guys say, and when the season comes, I'm done with that, any negotiation stuff, we're just going to play the season. Is that how you view it in your mind? Or
I haven't thought about that.
Yeah.
Right now we're making progress. So I just want to continue making progress so that we can get there and get what we want done. What's best for both sides.
Have you talked about franchise tag stuff at all with your agent?
No. For in the progress of getting the deal done, so I don't have to worry about that scenario. I haven't thought about that.
The way you're talking, it sounds like you want something that'll keep you here for a while.
Yeah, I want to finish my career here. I want to retire as a Bengal. I've done some great things up to this point, as I mentioned. I have a career sack record, and I got one stud behind me and one young stud coming in afterwards. So I like to extend that gap between me and the next person so that, you know, it's something that lasts generations from, you know, my future kids.
All right, so there was Carlos Dunlap. And we're rocking through it. So let's talk a little bit about actual observations over these 3 days. I mean, OTAs and mini camp are fairly similar, but there's a little bit more high pace, a little more training camp energy to it. I sort of always dub it the preseason for training camp. I mean, it kind of gives you a feel, but it's not quite the real thing. Anything that stuck out to you?
The offense definitely improved. To me, Paul, you're installing stuff in these OTAs, and it was ragged at times. I mean, the 11s, plays were stopped. They had to re-huddle. They had to redo it. Andy's looking at Bill Lazor. Was that right? Receivers didn't do the thing. Linemen calling out things in language as opposed to the numbers. It didn't look, aside from number 18, it didn't really look that good.
Yeah,
in the 11s, to me. I mean, for as much as, which is saying something because they're in shorts. Mm-hmm. I think the 3 days in Paul Brown, you didn't see that as much. You didn't hear it from the coaches as much, Paul. I think, there's definitely still ways to go. But you wanted to see that. I think I would have been more concerned about this whole thing of changing all this stuff if it didn't look smooth before they all go away for 5 weeks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it sounds basic. It sounds like, oh, it should look good. But I think when you had the worst offense in football and you're still hitching your wagon to 14 and 18 and 28, you need certain things to improve over this phase 2 and 3, whatever the phases are. And I personally think as a system, it looked cleaner than it did, you know,
April when we first were able to watch him.
Yeah.
Or May.
Yeah, I'll give you that. On more of an individual level, I'll point out Auden Tate.
Yeah.
And if you're a listener to the BBP, you listen to Duke Tobin say he thinks he could be the biggest steal in the draft for them, and partially because he was the last pick.
Right.
And so he thinks everybody has high potential, and that's then technically the most the biggest difference. But I think he meant it in that he sees real skill in a guy that has that he thought he had some of the best hands in the draft, and that has shown.
Yes.
I will say, and they tell us all the time in draft evaluation, they want to see a single individual skill that you can keep you here in the backgrounds, and they try to teach you the rest. But you need to have something that you can do that you do almost as good or if not better than anybody. He's got that, and it showed here. And I can't say out of any of the other guys in the back of this draft that I saw that I saw a skill, a single individual skill shine. Like you saw Auden Tate's ability to bring down some tough catches and have great hands show over these 3 days in particular. And you've seen a lot of it over OTAs as well. I mean, he had in a drill on Tuesday, the first day, they were running backline red zone. Dalton threw a ball where I don't know if even A.J. Green could get it at that spot. I mean, he caught it almost up by the field goal post.
Yeah.
Came down and dropped both his feet in bounds. I mean, he's 6'5", 225. He's a big boy. He can really get up. He can really snag it. And then on Thursday, this is not a scrub-on-scrub crime here. This is against William Jackson III, one-on-one red zone drill.
And that, to me, says – I think all you need to know as a listener, like, oh, it's on tape, whatever. Hey, the coaches saw enough on Tuesday, Wednesday that said, all right, let's see.
Let's see how it works.
And it was a heck of a ball, and it was hell of a coverage.
And Tate had it. Jackson was on, and that's what you're going to see on tape because he's not going to have separation ability to get open. He's too slow. But he got his hands on it. And Willow pops it out a little bit. The ball goes up in the air. Tate somehow rebalances himself, turns, grabs it, and gets his feet down inbounds, which we can certify because the ref gave it to him. There were refs there. Gave it to him. That's a hell of a play, and those are great hands.
Yeah,
that's a weapon the Bengals have not had in a long time, and I'd be really interested to see how they plot his path going forward because I do think he made an impression.
Yeah,
for a second-round pick especially.
In a crowded room.
Yeah, he made an impression that had to make you start thinking, hey, could he figure something? Is there a way for him? How can we utilize this skill?
Tight end.
Anybody who knows, I raised my hand the moment he was drafted in the front seat of this press conference room. You going to move him to tight end?
Yeah,
they said no.
But I think, you know. I think he could fill that role in a formationally if he doesn't have to block. I mean, he's a receiver by trade or whatever. But yeah, no, I agree with you, Paul. His individual that was pretty amazing. I think for me, you know, if you want to go on the field, we mentioned William Jackson III, and Joe Mixon. Like it's kind of nice. Okay, again with the BBP, I've been saying this. I'm gonna harp on it. Until they're out of it, or the win now, urgency, all this crap that it's been the start of Marv 3.0, let me see it. And I'll give him credit when I see it. It was Billy Price being drafted. It was Cordy Glenn. And it's William Jackson III is your starter. Joe Mixon is your starter. There are no games. They could play a game. They could give Gio every first rep.
Not just starters. They're featuring them as like building the offense and defense around
You know what I mean? Like, this is that time of year where, you know, if Marvin wanted to, Gio gets every first carry, just like Jeremy did last year, right? You could do a thing where Quez, $8.5 million a year this year, or $1 million this year, what? Tenured first round pick. He could easily be on the outside first reps. So I'll give him credit. That game isn't being played, and because those guys are too good to have it be played, but and they've shown up to me. I mean, Willow has been as good as we saw him end the year, And Joe Mixon, yeah, we got to see contact, but the kind of edge speed, he made Nick Vigil and Jordan Evans look absolutely silly on some angles. Like, here are really fast linebackers. I don't, they can't tackle, but, you know, they can't tackle here anyway. But they're fast, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, there goes the guy. He's not there.
Yeah.
And it was just good. So Joe is like, to see that burst, to see him pick his way in this line, I thought that was, you know, on the field individuals for me. It was those two and that.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
There.
Got to talk about John Ross.
Yeah.
John Ross, on day one of the offseason program, was the big story.
Yeah.
The on-field work was the big story. Oh, there's John Ross.
Yeah.
We get to see him.
Right.
He's healthy. Is he healthy? Yes, he's healthy. Oh, he's participating. And on the last day of the offseason program, we got to see there's John Ross doing everything.
Right.
Working. He's healthy. He went through the – now, we're literally talking about non-contact
right.
practices. But he was out there. He was a football player.
Right.
He was doing the things. He was working through mistakes, making some of the plays that make you recognize why he was a top 10 overall pick and trying to figure out this game.
Yeah.
He's not hurt. He's not being held back. He's not being limited. There's not a ding. There's not a soft tissue.
Right.
There's none of that stuff that everybody has put in his court. Now, maybe first day camp and pads goes out there and he busts a knee because he's hurt. Maybe that will happen. But I think what we saw out of John Ross, which was ups and downs big time
yeah.
throughout this whole time and these 3 days, was good and was very encouraging. And he made some plays this week that really made you remember. He spun Kavari Russell like a top.
Yeah.
For a deep out, you know, during like a 2 minute drill, 11 yeah. on 11, and then finished the drive out with separation on a corner,
yeah,
corner route. They had the ball in the five.
Yeah.
They said third goal.
John Ross was open in a step and a half.
Beyond the, yeah, I mean, yeah. it was as easy as you'll see. It was like right. the corner wasn't even on him because his separation, yeah. and that's what we talked about. That was what made John Ross special was red zone separation.
Right.
Tight windows become not so tight windows
right.
when he can break them open with his speed
right.
and his burst. And we saw that. And it's like, man, that is what he needs to be. And we saw right. him run these under drag
yeah.
routes and catch them running away from the guy
yeah.
trying to, oh, I can't catch
right.
him. Right. Using him the way he should be used. We're starting to see that, and I'm really interested to see what it looks like when they get into camp and they get into preseason and they get into games, and then you can really see the weapon that John Ross can be for this team.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. You know, the drops were there, but you know what?
Unlike
a year ago, he's open, which means Andy Dalton's going to
yeah.
throw him the ball. And
yeah.
so, you know, there'll be something to watch. You put that in the bank for camp.
Yeah.
Okay.
Drops,
let's see if the hands can get going.
Contested catches, not super.
Yeah.
Yet, I mean, that's not something we say. I'm looking for more play. Deep balls, it's not like we're seeing
really
him catch a bunch
those.
Of them.
Yeah. So.
I mean, we've seen a few and then they
yeah.
didn't come down with them. And, you
yeah.
know,
so there's things
out of bounds.
To watch. I mean, it's essentially a kid's rookie year. So it'll
yeah.
be interesting to see how that develops. But, yeah, you're right, Paul. For this phase, these phases, to get through it, totally healthy and, you
yep.
know.
And, you know, Brandon LaFell's still here running with the ones,
yeah.
speaking of playing games.
Right.
So let's – all right. Anything else? I know you want to move it on. So I assume you don't have anything else from observations. Let's go to – let's try to go through positions here.
Yeah.
Strong to weak, 1 through 9.
Sure.
Number one strength of this team to you is what?
Running back.
Number one room is running
yeah.
back room?
Because I think Joe Mixon is a Pro Bowler right now. And Gio is really, really good.
Yep.
I don't know a thing about Mark Walton or Brian Hill. Or Trey Carson. but that doesn't matter because those two guys, to me, those, I mean, Gio's like the sixth highest paid running back in the league. It's not all about salary, but it kind of is. And for guys, you know, for non-first round picks in the last 2 years, they're both really good. And I just think when you're top level, that top two is so good. And I think there's question marks as we dribble down. So to me, that's the best room.
I'm going to differ with you, and I'm going to say defensive line number one.
Chalk. D-line's number two for me. I mean, it's close. It's like
here's the difference for me is I wrote about him, and I did because I think there's reason to. I like what Jordan Willis is going to be this year. And I get the sense, I think they might be moving Michael Johnson temporarily as an inside nickel rusher.
Yeah.
Now, we'll see. They have not, without Carlos Dunlap here, it's hard to know if that's exactly what they're playing. But you see that a lot. He's references that's what he did well, and they're referencing that Jordan Willis needs to play more.
Yeah.
And that's where that would come from.
Right.
There was even talk of Carlos Dunlap maybe switching positions. Carl Lawson, Jordan Willis, Geno Atkins, Carlos Dunlap in a potential contract year. Who knows what you're going to get out of the middle spot is the issue.
Right.
But you're talking about run down defensive tackle. And Chris Baker was a nice add that people forget about. And Andrew Billings, there's a lot of potential upside. Well, you'll find something, I think, out of those guys. Sam Hubbard has shown pretty well early. He's big.
Yeah.
He's physical. He seems to know what he's doing. He's made a few nice plays.
Yeah.
Maybe you call that chalk. I think the depth is there.
Yeah.
That to me, that's what puts it over running back. The high end of Mixon and Bernard is up there, but the high end of Geno is pretty high too. So I'll take defensive line one, but I'm with you. I think that's the two strengths of this team right now.
Yeah.
Is running back and defensive line. The only question with running back is it ain't all on the running back.
Right.
And that's probably where we'll get to at the bottom side of this is where you're okay, defensive line and running back we have as our top two. Where are you going after that?
Three for me, and these are close. When I say one, two, three, I think they're close, and I'm going to go secondary, and that's largely because Willow's to me an all pro.
Mm-hmm.
George Iloka had got the message.
and they added a piece.
And they
had
Jesse
round.
Bates has looked good. Jesse Bates III has looked good when Sean Williams missed some time in the OTA. So we know George and Sean. George has been more aggressive, has been more sort of ball hawkish, if you will. But this is really more because of Quez and Jackson III. I like Darius Phillips. He missed the mini camp with a knee injury. He should be okay, but he flashed enough to me, Paul, in the OTAs with interceptions. I think right now, before it cuts, I think the secondary in general is a good group that they're not really going to be better at.
I would agree. Tell me this. You said 1, 2, 3. Is it not 1, 2, 3, and then I think there's a big gap.
Yeah.
To me, 1, 2, 3, and then it's like there's a whole lot of questions and a whole lot of muddled mess. When you start running down, you know, offensive line, receiver, quarterback, tight ends, linebacker, I could make you an argument almost any of those could be at the bottom.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
You could. I mean, I would say, you know, I would probably say receiver 4.
Just because of
18.
Because of 18.
Because at least they have the high end.
And 15 is healthy.
And 15 is healthy. So I'll put receiver 4.
Yeah. And
that's with a mess happening there. And Tyler Boyd, I think people are comfortable. He seems to be living up to the catapult of the last play of last year and learned lessons during his sophomore season, and they're not playing games with him, it doesn't appear. I think he's the slot guy, and they're going to play him, and they expect him to play well. So for that fact, I put it 4. But it's 3 to 4 is the gap. I think 1, 2, 3 you feel great about. Those are the strengths of this team.
Right.
And then, you know, we get into a mess here. So four, where would you go at five?
Specialists?
Well, I'm not counting the specialists. Sorry.
Yeah.
You're loving Randy Bullock right now?
Five. So after receiver, because they've been so bad. Some of them have been so bad. There's just so many questions. I'll a little mild upset. I think offensive line.
Yeah, offensive line.
Because, and I'm including Billy Price because we have seen him participate. He's on track to be healthy. He is doing things. Cordy Glenn is healthy. He participated in everything.
And he's just big.
you know, he is. So, there was some question about his health, you know, at that foot the last couple weeks. And then, you know,
offensive line needs to be in the middle with a question mark because until the pads
right.
come on, I don't know what to say about offensive line.
Put it this way. All of them are now participating. Jake Fisher was finally cleared for 11s.
Correct.
And Billy, and again, Billy, I mean, TJ Johnson has missed some time, but like your key guys are getting key reps.
Cedric Obey is starting at right tackle. Right. How's that make you feel?
Again, we're talking about right now. And there's fewer. My other ones down the line have more to do because of who's not doing things or who's hurt or bad.
All right.
And yeah.
I'll go ahead and swap you. I'll put quarterback five. The backups have been horrid.
I was going to say dragged Andy for me even lower than.
But they've got 14 is operating a new offense.
Yeah.
And you mentioned this. I think this all the smooth stuff of it starts with him. The drop that they've taken at backup quarterback is an issue.
Yeah. I could have flipped either one.
Yeah.
But backup is really been
the problem.
Glaring.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, yeah. There's been a few throws here and there, but you're used to seeing a little more out of that spot in recent years. And we joke about McCarron guy, but there was a reason there was even a McCarron guy in the first place.
Right.
I don't think there's going to be a Barkley guy.
No.
I'll put O-line six there with you.
See, I could have swapped. Yeah, I could have won either way.
Yeah. So, tight end. Linebacker.
Yeah, to me, it's tight ends. To me, tight ends last because your two starters have not participated. They're hurt. And it's Ryan Hewitt and CJ Uzama. Your two main guys aren't even participating.
Yeah.
So to me, that's got to be last. And then it's then lay a linebacker. I mean, Tez. Tez is the Tez we've seen for 2 years where you're like, oh, wow, look at that instinct. There he is. And then
you'll miss him for four games. Yeah. And let's be honest. He's not in
good
shape.
And he's looked that way. Yeah, he's looked that way where he's,
How long will it take Vontez Burfict to be in shape playing the way he can play his best games this season, or will it be like we've seen so many of these seasons that started with suspensions or whatever, where it takes till week 8 or 9 until he's playing at that level?
Yeah.
That's what it looks like right now.
Yeah, I think, if that's the question, I think it's just like how many years? It seems, it's every year or
something. This is the third straight year of multiple game suspensions to start it.
Like, I could see, here's the thing. I can see it being like 15 in that he's really not in shape enough to play 70% of the snaps when he returns, but he's going to kind of have to, like he did at Pittsburgh. But he's not going to look like himself until the San Francisco game in 15? Maybe a little before.
I
mean, so that's what we've seen, though. I think we're going to see that trend of just kind of, some flashes there. And then, now in fairness, linebacker is to me really hard to evaluate in shorts because all they can do is move laterally and try to fill a gap. They can't hit. They can't. I didn't see Vigil knocking passes down, making interceptions.
Malik Jefferson once this entire offseason make a play or do anything.
Preston Brown's Preston Brown.
Yeah.
He's there. Right? I mean, and that's why they signed him. He's there. He's available and he's, I would believe, in the right spot. I didn't hear Jim Haslett yelling at him.
Yeah.
So, but they
else.
Yeah.
You just It doesn't look. I mean, who knows what will happen?
Put it this way: as soon as Tyler Kroft steps on the field,
you flip.
I flip.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think that's a pretty good sum up of where you are. You've got, and that's not good. That you'd like it to be a little bit better before that gap happens.
Yeah.
You'd like the gap to be around 4 or 5,
right?
Not after 3, right, where you start having like major questions. At least in their 4, you have a perennial Pro Bowl receiver that can kind of help carry you for a little while, but you know,
there's more. Yeah, there's a huge upside in at the receiver spot.
Yeah, and if O-line can be real, the power of running back O-line combo can also be enough to carry all the rest of the garbage.
Right. And then your quarterback's not getting hit 85 times, and that kind of drifts that up a little bit
too.
So in
a shocking development, we'll end it the way we started it at the beginning of this offseason. It's all coming down to the O-line.
Yeah, right?
The same thing you knew, the same way it ever was.
Right.
It's always going to be about, will this offensive line be fixed? We don't know.
Right.
We just don't know. All right, let's take a quick shot to give a shout-out to 50 West Brewing Company. It is almost time for brewers to fight brewers.
Yeah.
Not Jim Brewer. Not chain-smoking tight end Sean Brewer, but local representatives from breweries. Your Ryan Geis, Taft Sale, everybody's going to be out at 50 West on July 7th for 50 West Punch Out. They're going to be putting Punch You in the IPA in cans this year, so it'll be the 4th one of their canned beers. It's going to be out there. Super exciting. I will be emceeing the event. It's going to be on local TV.
Wow.
Kroger's out there as a sponsor with them. It is turning into – this thing is getting so big, even Bobby can't be as optimistic about it as it is right now. It's just going to be massive.
It is a great event.
It's
awesome.
They
do a lot of good stuff down there.
Yeah, a ton of good stuff.
And even not into watching people punch each other, you can play sand volleyball, you can kayak. Can find some people to run with you.
Or just hang out and drink at a place where a lot of cool people go. I mean,
they want you to be active and drink at 50 West.
I like to just drink.
Well, yeah.
I can be active. The fact that I'm going there is my activity. All right? This is me getting out of the house. All right? I'm a dad. Okay. So make sure you get out to 50 West. It's awesome. And hopefully we'll see you July 7th. And if you do come down, say what's up to me. Shout out to BBP. And I'll see if I can't get Bobby to buy you a drink. I'm good at convincing Bobby to do things, I've found. Anyway, all right. And, of course, when we come back on Mock Turtle, Optimistic Bobby will be back, baby.
Yeah.
He'll be back in the scene, so I'm excited about that. All right, power ranking time.
Yep.
It's summer. That means everybody's headed to the beach or they're going to the lake or they're doing something. So you got to get by water. They're going to the pool.
Yeah.
You know? So let's do bodies of water. Worldwide, top two, bottom two, bodies of water. Let's power rank. Jim, start with your bottom two.
Bottom two. Well, it almost killed me. So the Atlantic Ocean is the bottom.
It killed you?
Almost.
What happened?
It's why I'm not a water person. To me, every body of water should be the bottom of everything.
You're all bottom.
I'm all bottom.
You're all bottom.
Yeah, I was a kid. And, you know, I'm out there. I got family out there. And it was just one of those things where, like, you get kind of sucked under by an undercurrent.
Mm.
And my aunt grabbed me by the arm and pulled me up. I don't know. I felt like I was going to be dead. So, screw the Atlantic Ocean.
I feel you. I'm not an ocean. I'm definitely not a go in the ocean guy. There's stuff out there, man. The real stuff.
Yeah, if you can go into a thing that can eat you,
dude. No. Sharks, there's even when you start getting into the jellyfish area, they're doing stuff. Like and then all the garbage on the ground you can cut your feet on. Yeah. In the sand and the beach.
You can get tracked hepatitis and get eaten by a shark.
Yeah.
All in one day. Going into the Atlantic Ocean.
You don't want that.
No, you don't.
So my number two is the Indian Ocean. I've never been there. But I feel like it's the ocean I would like least. And it's an ocean, and I know there's full all kinds. You always hear about stuff happening there. Plus, you got tsunami chances out there.
Yeah, that's.
I don't want anything to do with the Indian Ocean.
No.
You other oceans are on notice too.
Yeah.
So that's where that's my number two. What's your number one?
Number one, I'm gonna get filleted for this. The Ohio River.
Yeah. Trust me.
It's brown.
It's brown.
It's brown.
It's not just brown. It's not just brown. It's full of like dead bodies and skull fragments and like so much dirt.
Look, the Milwaukee River, like I lived on the Milwaukee River, like there's dead bodies in there too. Chicago River. They look like water.
They do.
Maybe at other points of the Ohio River away from where we are is a beautiful river.
It's generally brown. I found that it's true. Here's the thing. I love the only reason it's not I honestly, because I like to write things down, I had it on my bottom too, but only because I love a river going through the city.
I like
the bridges
right.
And the view.
Well, it's very,
but the actual river
yes,
itself,
that's what we're talking about.
Is
yeah.
It stinks a little.
Yeah.
Like I'm not gonna go boating on that thing.
No.
Like I get the player, people do, but
it's funny. Like the guys who boat on this team or fish on this team, and I bring up the river, and like their face is just
Don't do it.
Yeah,
because you don't want to pull a body or something out, and now you're responsible. Now you've your day's shot because you got to deal with John Doe. You know what I'm
saying?
Scrape
him off your hull.
You don't want that.
Yeah, no, you don't.
You got to get interviewed by one of our colleagues in news. Your guy who pulled body out of the river. Trust me, I have this argument with my wife all the time. She claims that bodies do not get pulled out of the river, and I just forward her every story when it happens. And it's once every couple months. Something, if it's not a body, it's like it was a body or an arm or something. Yeah. Like, dude, no.
Yeah.
No.
Maybe it's pieces of a body from the Atlantic Ocean that made its way over.
It's possible. It's possible. So I that's not my bottom one just because I have a personal affection for it as a Cincinnati guy. Lake Erie. Come on now.
Yeah.
Come on now. It was on fire. Yeah. It really smells bad. Yeah, we go to those games in Cleveland, and it smells awful. And all those damn seagulls that come off of the damn thing. Lake Erie is truly just the worst body of water. No, I'm saying that. And I don't really have – I don't think I should have much debate over it. All right, top two. Let's go top two. What's your top two?
I like the Mississippi. It is also mostly brown, but it's like it's different. It's cool.
It's really big.
It's big. I've played golf along it. I mean, so that's kind of cool. But it's I don't know. There's something about it.
Yeah.
There's some Seinfeld in there. Like Lewis and Clark. They discover the Mississippi. Seinfeld. Oh, they wouldn't have found that anyway. Yeah. You know. Because it's huge.
Yeah.
And then plus, you know, having gone down south a few times now, you know, the Delta area and just kind of, I don't know. I like it.
Okay. Okay. I'll give you that. I'm going to say my number two is actually a bit contradictory, but for different reasons that I'm going to explain. I'm going to say the Pacific Ocean, but only for this reason. I like being in California. Like, and the Pacific Coast Highway and the views off the Pacific Coast Highway are, like, some of my favorite that are around anywhere. I don't go in the Pacific Ocean, although they do have waves, which I appreciate.
Killer whales are in the Pacific Ocean.
You can see killer whales. You can go out to Hawaii and you get...
That's out there. That's in the Pacific
Ocean. Ocean, and Hawaii's incredible.
Yeah.
And so you got lots of stuff there. And you don't have to go in order to enjoy it. But of the ones that I enjoy the most, Pacific Ocean, I would say for those reasons of places that I love being, Pacific Ocean is there. But I'm still not going in.
Right.
Not doing that. And San Diego, I mean, it's all good. All California with Pacific Ocean is good. So, all right, number one.
Very clearly Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
I'm a Chicago guy. I lived in Milwaukee. My wife has the lake on tattooed on her arm. I mean, we live by the lake in Milwaukee. I mean, it's just it's fresh water. You know, Shedd Aquariums out there. We got married at the Shedd right off the lake. I mean, so there's personal ties to it, but also it's a good lake.
Yep,
there's treasure in there. No one can get to it. but there's treasure in there.
My number one, I'm going to cheat a little, okay? Because I'm allowed to, because it's my thing. I can do whatever I want. My number one is the hotel pool at the Ambassador Key Best Western in Key West, Florida. That is an infinity pool that overlooks the Atlantic Ocean and has a tiki bar right next to it. It is the greatest body of water on this planet. It is everything I love. It's ocean view. It's ocean smell. But the good ocean smell. It's Key West. It's hotel pool. So I don't have to worry about any of the things, but I get to go in the water. It's a tiki bar right there, so I can go. I can get my food. I can get my drinks. I can go under the little, like, the little, you know, the waterfall they have in there. And it's just my happy place. So that, while cheating, I admit, like, you wouldn't have thought of that because you were probably trying to think of real bodies of water, is my body of water. So it's sort of like the Atlantic Ocean by extension, but only because I don't like being that close to it.
Yeah.
So that is my
number. I would never pick. I don't like pools. I don't get in pools. I would never pick a pool.
I'm sure you wouldn't.
No.
You would maybe pick this pool if you were down there and experience the joy that it can bring you. So that's what I got. Did we go fast enough for you?
Kind of.
Or are you mad about it? And that's why you got to be mad
I'm always mad. I'm always mad about something.
Why are you mad?
Why we always go an hour? But no, it's...
Because it's what we do.
So I have a list
of things you're mad about.
Yeah, and it only's going to grow during the break. But your hatred of the Indian Ocean.
So since we have a month off, you're like, I've got to give you like five different things that I'm mad about.
No, you broke the tie because none of these are going to go away. They're still going to make me mad. because you didn't like the Indian Ocean. Well, the Indian Ocean brought us Top Gun. Because where are you going to have them fights?
Yeah.
So, and that's Top Gun 2. How can Tom Skillet and Maverick be struggling with technology? I hate that plot line. That's not a thing.
No.
Maverick's not messing with some drama. Swore real hard there. It's just like, there's no, we got guests watching this podcast. I can't swear.
You can't swear. You're going to keep it clean.
I got to keep it clean.
You've been showing your mad self, though.
Don't mess with no drones. And in the Tomcat. Come on.
Yeah.
I saw that. I'm like, that's weak. I mean, people have been waiting for Top Gun 2 and Fat Val Kilmer for so long. And, you know, messing with drones. He'll be struggling with that.
Look, I'm not going to talk about Top Gun 2 because I don't even recognize its existence. I don't like all these dumb sequels that are happening. And this is one, too.
I'm just saying.
I'm honestly, hot take alert, I'm not even that into Top Gun 1.
That's fine.
Does that make you mad?
No.
All right. Then keep going through your list here.
No. That's it for now.
Oh, you're keeping a list for future reference.
Oh, yeah, I'm keeping a list.
So you're writing things down? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. No, I actually type it into my phone.
Yeah. I thought you kept it all up here.
I did promise this. I'm going to shout out Elliot, who follows us on Snapchat, for noticing my lack of coffee intake this past week.
I feel like you've been doing your normal coffee.
But I usually Snapchat that for everybody, and it's turned into a weird thing. He noticed it and messaged me and said he was sad.
Oh, wow.
So I was shout like, out Elliot. I'm going to shout out. So you had to sit through all that, Elliot. Thank you.
To wrap it, what's making me happy? What's making me happy is one of my favorite gym quotes of all time happened this week. and maybe out of context, it won't make as much sense to people, but I don't care. It was basically, when I meet people for the first time, like I don't even think about trying to learn their name anyway. And I was like, like when it came out, I was just like, what? You don't even, like, it's like, just know that if you meet Jim, when you say, hi, my name's whatever, he's already thinking about something else. He doesn't give a damn what your name is. just know that. So you got to, I guess you got to come around a second time.
Yeah.
Anyway, that quote made me laugh really hard this week.
It did make you very happy.
So I'm pretty happy about that. I enjoy that concept. That, like, someone introduces himself to you and you're just like, nah, dog.
Yeah.
Don't even tell me your name. I ain't trying to learn it.
It's true.
All right. Hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening throughout the off season. I know the off season can sometimes be a little bit boring, but we hope we kept it spiced up for you. So we're going to have our series that's going to run not next week, because we kind of went a little later this week, mini camp. So sort of 1 week off here.
Yeah.
Then we'll have a four-part podcast series that'll run. It'll be associated with a five-part series that we're running at Cincinnati.com that you're going to like. We really look forward to that. And then we'll be back when it's time for training camp week and mock turtle soup and all those things. And we'll be back in full steam ahead once it's camp time. And we've got some new treats for you when that comes as well. So we're really looking forward to it. Thanks, everybody, throughout the off season. We look forward to taking a little bit of time off ourselves. So if you're not getting responses back immediately on Twitter, know that maybe we're just on vacation, and that's okay. We'll talk to you later, everybody. Have a good one.